And so usually the first question I always start out any interview with, whether it be, you know, school board or city council, is, you know, just asking every candidate to maybe introduce themselves, just a little bit about you and why you are running for this position.
Really, it's because of my union. I've been a shop steward for Unite Here Local 8 for the last 5 years, and I've just found the work incredibly rewarding. I have enjoyed trying to make my workplace better for all of my coworkers, and to build that community at work, and looking at how to expand on that, I just found myself looking at community service.
What is a shop steward?
A shop steward is essentially a union's eyes, ears, and mouth on the shop floor. We keep an eye out for infractions against our collective bargaining agreement, which is the contract that we have with our company that determines how employees should be treated. And when those infractions come up, we are in charge of filing the grievance procedure to come to a resolution. We are also our coworkers' representation in disciplinary meetings. We organize our union meetings, we disseminate information, and just generally work as a go-between for the union at large and the members, as well as often between management and our coworkers.
And do you have like a connection to Spokane Public Schools? Like, did you go there when you were a kid, or have kids or nieces or nephews or work for the school district?
No, I actually went to Chatteroy Elementary and Riverside Middle School up north, so Riverside School District. And then for high school, I attended St. George's here in town. I do have two nephews currently attending Westview Elementary, though.
And so I guess what about sort of education or, you know, the next generation kind of pulled you to say, you know, I need to run for school board and be a part of these decisions?
As my first foray into public service, I wasn't really sure where to start. A lot of elected positions seem very, very specific and require very specific knowledge about it, about the area. And that's not to say that a school board member doesn't require knowledge about the education system, but it seemed to me to be the broadest possible place to start, because in my mind, our public education system is the foundation on which we build our communities, right? It is the broadest possible point to begin with. It's where we teach our students to be citizens and members of our community.
Mm-hmm. And so my first, you know, policy issue-wise question that I think is going to be really important going into the next couple years for school board members is equity. And so the current school board, which none of them are really on the ballot right now, they passed an equity resolution last year, really making some promises about looking at education with an equity lens, making sure that all the staff have culturally competent training, and, you know, addressing just some other issues that lead to inequitable outcomes in schools. Do you support those ideas and that resolution? And going forward, do you think it promises enough, or are there more areas that need work?
Unequivocally, I support the resolution and the language in it. I think that it's a place to start. I think that moving forward, we will certainly realize that there are things that were left out. There will be areas that need more focus. But for the time being, it's somewhere to start. There were quite a few promises made in that equity resolution. Were there any in particular that you wanted to
Well, for
discuss?
example, I think one of them that's come up in the last couple of weeks that I've noticed in the community is the culturally competent training for all teachers, because there was that situation of the teacher,
At
yes,
Sacagawea?
that situation, and
Yeah.
maybe if they'd
So
had everyone had had really in-depth cultural competence training, maybe.
that absolutely did occur to me. So on the subject of culturally competent staff, it seems like the primary way that the resolution suggested achieving culturally competent staff was through the culturally responsive teaching training. And I think that's great. It's a fantastic program. I think all of us should take the time to examine our own implicit biases, which is the first step in culturally responsive teaching. But it's especially important for people who are in charge of systems that have been historically reinforcing some of these racial biases, like schools and police forces. So for our educators, this is especially important, and it's a huge first step. Once our educators are appropriately aware of the sociopolitical context in which our schools are operating, they can use that awareness in their lesson planning, in their own personal lives, and importantly, in frank discussions with their students, at age-appropriate levels, just to arm those students with the same knowledge of context. I don't think that pretending that the issues don't exist is helpful to anybody. I do worry about how the implementation of that is going, though, because as you brought up, Sacagawea Middle School currently has national media attention for a cotton cleaning project. And just having gone through the details of that, it seems like something that should never have passed the smell test for anyone who'd undergone any kind of cultural sensitivity training.
And so, like, maybe some more, work and making sure whatever training is happening needs to be looked at, or I guess, sorry, I just had a little interrupt myself moment. I guess, is there kind of a solution in mind to, like, something that clearly hasn't worked, or just maybe another step that needed to be taken?
I don't know for certain yet. I'm hoping to be in a position to find out and then to do something about it. I don't know if it's going to look like auditing of teachers' classroom behaviors because I'm not sure that that would be helpful. I don't think our teachers need to feel unduly scrutinized. I think that auditing maybe of the culturally responsive training might be more
And I'm going to
appropriate.
move on to our next question just to make sure we don't run out of time to get to topics. So one of the big, I think, things that I don't know if this possibly inspired, the number of people that are running this year to run, but a big issues a lot of Spokane Public School families had this year was just sort of the ability for their children to do school, from home, the gaps in technology, the gaps in internet, and the gaps in support. And for a lot of families, it was a missed year. And it was a year that, kids, some of them, maybe underwent a little bit of trauma in isolation for a year. Your first year, if you are elected to school board, will be kind of as these kids are all back in school full time. Is there anything you think the school board could do to address that gap in learning, or that potential trauma, and sort of some of the gaps that families have had at home to be able to support their kids through that?
I'm sorry. So the question is, what can the public school system do to address the gaps in technology as well as the trauma?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Well, first of all, I think that in addition to many kids needing to catch up, which I'm certain is the case, I think they'll find that a lot of students also flourished with the at-home model. I think it will highlight how different students have different learning styles. And hopefully we can take that information and incorporate it moving forward and realize it's not a one-size-fits-all situation. In terms of addressing the, gosh, I guess the social trauma endured by our students in the last year, not seeing their classmates and their teachers. Hopefully just the careful reintegration into in-person learning and having appropriate support staff in our school counselors. But also communicating with the students' parents and just finding out exactly how they're doing coming back, are they adjusting well? Are they acting out at home? It shouldn't just be when a student is acting out at school that the parents are notified. Like, the school should be finding out, are they acting out at home as well? As far as the technology gaps, I'm not sure about the specifics yet, but there are certainly steps that need to be taken, even as we get back into completely in-person learning. The internet is an absolutely vital tool for our students today. I don't think there's a question of that. Whether it's researching a paper or emailing other students for a group project or sending a multimedia presentation into their teacher to be submitted. I mean, they have to have access to the internet. They just have to. I think that our school system did a remarkable job, all things considered, in how quickly they were able to get laptops in students' hands for the distance learning over the last year. That's not to say that it was executed perfectly, but again, given the circumstances, I think they did an excellent job. One thing that did bother me a little bit is when I was looking into resources available for students who don't have internet access at home. The SPS website mentions the Emergency Broadband Benefit Program. Which, if you're not aware of it, it's a federal program that provides a temporary discount on broadband bills for low-income households. On the high end, a whole $50 a month. It's not a whole lot. And the program ends as soon as the funds run out, or 6 months after the state of emergency due to COVID is over, whichever one is sooner. And then that's done. Students will still need internet in their homes. The other option listed is the free wireless internet access that every Spokane Public School provides to all of their students in the parking lot. It just doesn't. It doesn't seem like a reasonable assumption that if these students need internet access, that they're supposed to just post up in the parking lot. It presupposes that despite not having internet access, these students do have internet accessible devices on which they can do their schoolwork. And sure, most kids probably have smartphones now, but I can't imagine typing up an essay on one.
Yeah, or just the lost, there is going to be probably a lot of kids playing a lot of catch up from, whatever they may or may have not learned
Absolutely, and
in
beyond
2020 at
normal
school.
school hours. You know, there are a lot of extracurriculars happening in our schools after class anyway. I think that if we don't currently have programs that do this, and I didn't find any, just offering use of our school's computer labs to students after class. And I don't know if that looks like a sign-up program or a first come, first serve, but giving students access to any extracurricular busing that is in place, if they want to stay after school and use the computers for their homework assignments, then they also have a way to get home afterwards. I think that that is absolutely necessary.
And then that kind of wraps up most of the time that I have, but I also always want to make sure to give candidates time and just if there's anything that is really pivotal to why you're running or an issue that you see in the school district that's not being addressed or something I didn't ask about, is there, I guess, anything else that is really important to you?
Well, really quickly, something that you mentioned that none of the current school board members are running in this cycle. That is important because I do want to be clear. I didn't look at the school board and say, I can do better than you. I saw empty seats and I thought, you know, I have ideas and I'd like to pit them against the other folks who are running. It's not an attack on anyone currently on the school board and the way that they're doing their job. Secondly, yes, there is something that is absolutely important to me. I would love to prioritize research skills and critical thinking development in our schools. I think that those are tools that we can use for the rest of our lives, that just in every way, in every single way, will improve our communities. If we are able to look at disagreements on whether they're political or personal, and just be able to analyze them critically, go home, research topics and know how to parse a good resource from a bad one. I think it'll just make better citizens. Also, I would love to see our schools encourage trade and technical education as equally attractive options to college or university.
And so just more focus on, not just applying to colleges, but also thinking about like I'm trying to think of like electrician and apprenticeships and just those skilled jobs.
Absolutely. I think that using being college ready as the only measure of student success is really harmful because it's just not for everybody. I think that we could be doing more to help students find their passions and set achievable goals towards reaching those. And showing them how their high school education is going to help them get there.